Well, hey, we're back again to the Cooking Bartender Podcast. Once again, Adam's not here. Well, this is our second installment of the John and John, I'm calling it, because it's John Ilgis and John Theringrid with his wine and John's barbecue. And today we're going to get more into the barbecue aspect of it. Talk more about what he did in his barbecue days. So enjoy. It should be fun. It'll be great. And that's all I got to say.
You're listening to the Cook and Bartender Podcast with hosts Adam and Tiny, talking everything you want to know about the hospitality industry. And now on with our show.
Cheers, as always, cheers.
Podcast, cheers.
So, with all these wines here, does he ever think about, like, smoking stuff? I mean, you are the master smoker. You are the award-winning, Jack Daniels award-winning, I don't know how many states you've
barbecue
won.
Barbecue master.
Barbecue master.
I'm a used-to-be, wannabe kind of guy. I've been there, done that.
What's it like? Here's me asking the questions. Let me turn the table. What's it like when they're announcing the winners and all of a sudden they announce second runner-up and it's not you, first runner-up and it's not you?
It sucks.
And then you go, oh, man. And then they say, and the winner is, and it's you. What is that? What
well,
is that
I will
feeling
go
like?
Back to the Jack Daniels. We have been there 14 times, which is more than anybody else in the country. I am blessed. I am lucky. And it, when you talk about probably anything that you do in life, you know, if you want to be the best golfer or whatever, it is never about you. Think it's about you for a while, but when you look back, it's about the people you're buying your meat from. And it's the people you're buying your garnish from. And it's how much time you put into it. It's about your wife. It's about your kids. It's about your people that you work with. It's your business. And they don't even know it. And you don't even know it. But it's about them, too. Because if you're out spending a ton of money every weekend, a ton of time away from your wife and your kids and your business and your grandkids, it takes a long time to figure that out. And then at about that time when you figure it out, you go, you know what? The cost is probably too high, but you love doing it. It's stupid because you are spending $1,000 a weekend to get a $2 ribbon or a $5 trophy. And yeah, you do it. You love it. You love the people and the camaraderie. And I will tell you, though, when I started 21 years ago, whatever it was different back then. You know, you came out and you had a pop-up tent and a cooker and you turned in and people were friendly. And now it's about TV and money, and that has all changed. And there was a big influx of cooks that came in when Pitmasters and all that stuff became popular on TV. Camaraderie changed and judging definitely changed because people were actually listening to people on TV, guys that I knew, Meyer Mixon and Tuffy Stone and Mo Kayson and Franklin, and they would say things on TV that they knew you did not ever want to get judged on, but they said it because it was on TV and it sounded good on TV. And so you had this big influx of judges didn't really know any better and they got trained a certain way. And so the judging, it was 1,000 things that changed when barbecue became crazy and popular. And we're kind of seeing the other side of that loop now. I'm the old guy on the porch going, I remember when it was this way and I loved it and screw you all.
So we're like a pre-reality TV.
Yeah.
Reality TV, now we're post-reality TV and we're getting back.
Exactly. And it's too bad because I know what I want to eat. I know what you want to eat. Oh, I think I know what you want to eat. You'll eat anything, right?
Well, no. I am a professional.
I'm a professional. But, you know, you want, if I'm eating barbecue, I want a barbecue.
Yeah.
I want it salty. I want it peppery. I want it smoky. For God's sakes, it should be, if nothing else, it should be smoky. It's barbecue.
Yep.
And yet, competition barbecue has morphed into anything but. They're going to throw me out of the KCBS, but it is not barbecue. This is not barbecue anymore.
For me, one of the craziest things is barbecue sauce.
Right.
Okay, because it's all over the board, and I'm very fussy about what I like and what I don't like. And there's a lot that I don't like. And I found, like, one sauce that I like, and it's, I mean, I don't know if you'd agree or not, but it's the Three Little Pigs Kansas City competition sauce.
Sure. Chris Marks has won the American Royal, like, more than anybody else in the world.
The one that, to me, that tastes the most balanced. And I think going from wine, and wine has to be balanced, beer has to be balanced. I'm not into coffee because coffee is not balanced. Coffee is balanced when you throw enough sugar and cream in it to when it's no longer bitter. That's coffee. So until they make a non-bitter coffee, I'm out. But I think, you know, finding those barbecue sauces that are balanced and not too vinegary, not too smoky, not too spicy, where it accentuates the meat that you're eating versus covering it up, you know. I found what I've liked. I'm in that rut for, like, I found what I liked about maybe 10 years ago, and I haven't moved. The needle hasn't moved off of that barbecue sauce in 10 years. And if they ever quit making it, I'm in trouble because I have to find something over and start again. But it's like, once you find what you like, I think it's all of us. We know what we like to eat. We know what we like to drink.
No,
and we want to stay in that lane. And it's not to say there aren't new things that can't come around that are better. But once we know what we like and that the pinnacle of whatever it is, whether it's wine, whether it's beef, whether it's pork, chicken, the whole thing, we know what we like and we strive to attain that.
Problem with competition barbecue is it's a one bite competition. Ooh. So that judge has six chicken thighs, six briskets, six pork pieces, six ribs, and so they're tasting one bite.
That's what it turns into.
Because yeah, exactly. Wow. So you're going to get a chicken thigh. How many bites you got? You got six of them there. How many bites are you going to take out of that thigh?
Two tops, probably, and then you're going to move on.
So what these teams are doing now is it's not balanced. It's antithesis of balance. I got to nail them with a lot of salt. I got to nail them with a lot of sugar. I got to nail them with a lot of blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, as a judge, you're going to take one bite. And that's fine for some of the entries other than chicken, because most of us are turning in chicken thighs. And I've tried to preach this to some judges. I'm like, please don't take one bite out of it, because any cut of meat, there's multiple muscles in that meat. A chicken thigh is no different. So if I take a bite out of that chicken thigh and I'm biting out of this left side, oh my God, it's moist, it's tender, it's there's grease running down my damn chin. But as a judge, if I had flipped that around, other side of that thigh, which looks exactly the same, one side will have more on it, the other side will have a lot less on it. That side with less on it, it's a different structure. It's
dried out, you know, or less tender, less juicy.
Yeah, and I've had judges go, I never even thought of that. I'm like, please, just take a bite from both sides. Because if you grab that thigh and you take that thinner side, it's never going to be, you know. If I take a bite of a rib or a slice of money muscle off of a pork butt or a brisket, it's always the same. But that thigh will certainly be different, and people don't think about that. I don't even think a lot of the judges think about that. I don't think a lot of the cooks think about that. But if you eat that, you will definitely know the difference. And so as a cook, when I'm putting it in my box, I'm going to put that heavy end towards the judge. Think about that. You've got a box there. You pick that thing up. You put it on your tasting thing, and you do that six times. When you pick it up again to taste it, how are you going to pick that thigh up? You're not turning it 180 degrees, are you?
No, you're just taking it from where it is.
So that thick end is now already on your plate, and you're going to pick it up. What bite you're going to take it from that thick end?
Wow.
So you put it in your box, make it look pretty, and you put that other in that, and you get a judge that doesn't try both sides. He's going, it's a little bit. You know, stupid little things like that. You know, can we train the judges to take a bite off both sides? Probably not.
A little thing as a cook,
you go, but we don't do it because we're putting them in the box to make them look the best. We're trying to get the best score. And in the end, the best score, because it's weighted smaller than taste and tenderness, you're screwing yourself. Because you're trying to make that box look the best that it can, but in the end, when he takes it and, you know, eats it, he scores you down, and that 9 for appearance that you got, wow, I got a 9 in appearance, my tenderness and taste got exactly. Wow, I don't even know where we started. But
hey, we're just going around in circles.
This is great, great. You're going around in circles. Circles is fun.
Yeah.
So, talk about wine, I'm talking about chicken. Yeah. So, do you think that...
I'll drink some more wine.
Do you think that judges should be, like, past winners instead of just people... I mean, how do they get a judge?
You wouldn't have enough. So, the problem with judging is... When I started out, it was, you know, I cooked out of a tent, and most people cook out of a tent, and you got judges that were wherever they were from, and then I would say you got on TV. You had barbecue pit masters and all that, all that sort of stuff popped up. Great. I mean, it was fantastic for barbecue in general and KCBS and barbecue restaurants. And my God, there's people standing in line to go to Aaron Franklin's place for, and I've done it for, you know, you sit down there for 9 hours. Granted, you're drinking Texas beer and having a great time, but it's an experience. So you had this big, it was almost a, I don't even know what I would call it. It was a barbecue explosion. And so it ended up on TV. And so you got... From TV, you got more judges and you got more teams and you had this explosion of new teams and new judges and new money and on and on and on and on. People that had no experience judging were watching Myron and Tuffy and Mo, and they were giving their advice on these shows, and it was good advice, and yet it was advice that you went, you know what, if you were cooking... And heard that advice, you would go, come on, guys, that's ridiculous. You know, it was great for TV. Yep. But the problem is these new judges that all rushed in, that's all they knew. They were like, oh, well, you know, you can't have any fat. You know, it's like, for God's sakes, it's a pork butt. It's point of a brisket. It should have fat. And now all of a sudden, because celebrity barbecue judges said it shouldn't have any fat, and they knew it should have fat, but for TV.
Yep.
We got to say something. That became the norm. You had new judges.
In other words, don't trust a skinny cook. Is that what we're saying?
Never judge. Absolutely. Believe me, never judge a skinny nothing. You know, so I don't know. Giant bloom of new judges and new teams. And everybody was running out watching them from TV. And they would spend $100,000 on a new trailer. And they had three guys that went to culinary school and...
Just because they went to culinary school doesn't mean they're good. Trust me.
No, it didn't, because they overthought it.
Yep.
And you just, know, it's still redneck barbecue.
That's right. That's all it is.
It should be salt and pepper and fat.
You're right.
And smoke.
And so my past conversations with you over the years about when you actually are selected to compete at the Jack Daniels competition, there are probably, what, 5 to 10 other competitions that you have to qualify to get to the Jack Daniels, because that's kind of like a finals.
Yeah, right? You never knew. I mean, it could... Yeah. Alaska and win the one Alaska contest and get in. But typically, it's a tough deal to get into the Jack. You know, the American Royal is different. American Royal, to me, has always been kind of your national championship. So you had two contests, and anybody that won a contest, your team won a contest, you got in.
Yeah.
You know, so you had, back in the day, 100-250 teams that would get in the Invitational. Jack Daniels was different. They took maybe 30 teams international. So you had teams from Japan and China and Kazakhstan and whatever. And yeah, they were from everywhere. It was great. I love the Jack.
I remember we were like,
I love the Jack Daniels. It's really the only reason I cook. Oh, you know.
I called on and say, hey, John, can we taste wines this weekend? Nope, I'm on my way to Tallahassee.
No.
What?
Yeah.
What's in Tallahassee?
You got a
competition
this weekend.
Yep. Then, you know, and it would be like, I mean, the sheer amount of windshield hours that you're putting in.
It's insane.
To get from A to B, you know, from here in the middle of Dakota to...
Why do you cook? Well, you know what? If the Jack Daniels wasn't out there, I would probably not have cooked half as many as I did. And it's crazy because back in the day, now it changed the last couple of years. The money wasn't, you know, it wasn't for the money. It wasn't for the trophies. It was because... I gotta go, and you didn't get to go. And anybody tells you any difference is full of shit. It's prestigious, and if everybody got, it's like anything in the world. If everybody got to go, you know, and I was like, oh, well, I gotta go to, you know, whatever. I gotta go to Costco. So what? I got a membership I get to go to, you know. But you went to the Jack because you know what? It was in the holler. you know, and it's Jack Daniels, and their whiskey's good, and their story's good, and 95% of the teams don't get a go. And there's some of them that deserve to go more than I deserve to go. But it's the way that they do their draw, and, you know, there's, I could spend 20 minutes talking about, you know, how do you get into the Jack? Well, yeah, I won a contest. That don't mean you get a go. You know, if you're from Kansas or Missouri, or I don't want to go on and on and on and on, but some states it's harder to go to from other states. No matter where you're from, it's hard to go. Getting to go, it's a unique experience. They treat you great. If it wasn't there, I would probably wouldn't cook.
I mean, there were conversations. I remember Tallahassee one time. I remember you're like, Colorado, we're going to Minnesota, northern Minnesota. I'm like, holy, I mean, the sheer amount of distance between these competitions.
It's crazy.
It's not like they're all local. I mean, you're going long ways to get to these. No. And
I remember one year I was, you know, then you get into the whole, well, you know, why are you cooking? And, you know, so you start chasing KCBS points. Maybe I could be the team of the year. And, you know, no matter what you do, you know, there's money at the end of it. And there's, you know, maybe you get on TV and what have you. It never pays for the amount of money that you throw out there. Yeah. And if you think it does, well, God bless you, because you're smarter than me or dumber than me. I don't know what it is. But I can remember going to Lakeland, Florida in January. And for me, that 24-hour drive, coming home, getting back in the car, washing everything, buying new meat, turning around, driving to Phoenix, Arizona the next week.
Don't forget, he's running a liquor store, a wine shop.
You got a family.
A bar and a family.
Yeah. Coming home the next week, driving to Slidell, Louisiana. Coming home. At that point, I was doing 3 oil changes down at the Ford dealership in 3 weeks. Start doing Good the math. Lord. You go, well, that can't be right. I'm like, no, do the math. Or running out to Lake Havasu, and that was part of that week. And then running, you know, back from Slidell and going to Lake Havasu, Arizona. And I'm in Lake Havasu getting an oil change.
Did you see the London Bridge?
I did.
Good.
Yeah. There you go. But people say, oh my God. You got to see the London Bridge. You know, people say, what a great lifestyle. You know, like, well, no, I'm missing out on a lot of home and work and stuff. I said, but you know, the problem is, What'd you think of New Orleans? I'm like, well, here's the problem. I just came from Tallahassee or whatever. I got home, turned around, did all this, blah, 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 and got back in the car and ran down there. I didn't see shit. What do I think of New Orleans or Lake Havasu?
I don't know.
Saw Father Love's truck stop.
There you go.
The only thing I saw was, well, you know what? The bathroom was clean. Because in the end, that's what you're thinking about. I was like, can I get cheap gas and a clean bathroom? You know, maybe they got, you know, the guy that goes with me, Don. It's like, do they have a good hot dog roller?
Was it clean?
Yeah, and that's all you saw. I'm and you drawing, never saw anything.
I'm kind of drawing parallels to my wine world is my day job. My weekend job is my church organ gig. And I think of all the hours I have to spend in an organ loft practicing to get ready for Easter Sunday and all that stuff. And you're spending way more time and energy.
We need more of this wine.
We need more Mont Blanc.
Mont Blanc.
We're going to South Africa. Yeah. And, you know, you're spending copious hours that I'm practicing 10 hours for 1 hour service. At what point do I love what I do versus the time and energy that I'm spending getting ready for it? But I think it goes back to that. We love what we do. We do what we love. And
very true.
There's no cost to do what you love. You know, there's a cost, but there, I mean, at the end of the day, if you love what you're doing, do what it takes to get there.
Same thing in cooking. I wasn't in for the money, really. I was in for the love, the joy, the excitement, whatever, of cooking.
I love the whole process.
And learning.
I love the whole process of cooking. I mean, there's certain people that go, I don't like to cook. I don't like to shop. Well, one of the things that, you know.
Shopping's fun.
Shopping's the best part of it.
I agree. And that was one thing.
I mean, you guys get that, right?
Yeah. Shopping's the best part.
Store, it's like, what's new?
Looking around, like,
man, I'm looking at labels and stuff, and my wife is going, Jesus.
I mean, that was
get me out of here.
That was one thing with my dad.
It's fun. Because you know what? You've tasted enough stuff over your life. It's like, can't you read the label and you know it's going to taste like before you even.
Right. You can taste it in your mouth.
Yeah. Yep. You look at the salt content, you look at the sugar content, you look at, oh, there's tamarind in it, and there's whatever, and you kind of know. try everything.
It was, you know, it was kind of one of the things with my dad. My dad was a lot older than I was. But one of the things my dad and I enjoyed is when we go to the grocery shopping, we wouldn't just hit the aisles where we needed stuff. It was every aisle of the grocery store, from the canned goods to the meat to the produce. As I've gotten older, I'm now a little bit more just starting getting in and getting out. But those are times that I will never forget, because that was where my dad and I connected. Did I like farming? Did I like mechanic work? Did I like tractor work? No. Did I want my fingers? No, that wasn't me. But going to the grocery store and watering up every damn aisle in the grocery store, loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to take that away.
No, we're lucky. Yep. I mean, God, you know, your parents and my parents and my grandparents and stuff, you know, they went to the grocery store, there was like 9 things. Pick. You know, and now we can go in and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it is ridiculous the amount of stuff that comes from all over the world.
Yeah, before you had salt.
You had salt.
Well, now you have 10 different sizes, 10 different things.
Yeah.
What do you want? 40,
I mean, I'm in South Dakota and there's 9 kinds of salt on the shelf somewhere. I can't imagine what it's like if I was in New York or Chicago or L.A. Not that it tastes any better. It's salt, you know. Yeah, I don't believe all that BS, but it's salt.
Yep, totally true.
Yeah, so yeah. I enjoy going in and I just go in and read labels and let's try that.
Of shopping is fun for me. It's like, you know, finding like sometimes at some of the big national chain stores, they'll put their Christmas packs out where you'll get like 10 different tubes of salt from Black Lava to Blue Hawaiian to Himalayan. And
are you buying that?
Oh, you know it.
Do you taste the difference?
I'm sure there is some. What I end up doing with those is I don't use them individually. I blend them all together and make my own house spice.
You say you're a drunk and you mixed them.
Oh, yeah,
you actually mixed them all together. Just kidding.
But, you know,
I'm blending them.
I'll take Albertoni,
come on.
I'll take my 7-8 different kinds of salt, my 9 different kinds of pepper from pink, green, black, white to those peppercorns and add some, you know, what do I like? I like thyme. Yeah. Well, I'll put sage. Yep, like sage. Do I put oregano, garlic? Right. No. Seasoned salt. Okay. You know, so I'll put all these different things together, kind of like Emeril's essence. It's what he puts on everything. It's what I like. So could I eat anybody else's ribeye right now? No, because it doesn't taste what I've reached the perfection of what I think a ribeye should taste like. And can I do it better at home than I can go out to a restaurant? Hell yes.
That's the problem with me. Going out to restaurants, I know what I like to cook. I know how I can cook it. And so I don't go to a lot of restaurants because I know they're going to fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be just miserable.
I'd rather go out and spend 30, 40 bucks on a beautiful bone-in ribeye and do it myself because I know how I'm going to like it, you know, and I know what I want it to taste like. I guess you know, it's just by trial and error. You get to that point where you reach that level where you know what you like. And okay, this is what I expect it to be. And anytime that somebody doesn't get to that, they go, am I going to go out and spend 60 bucks in that ribeye at a restaurant where I could make it at home for half?
Nope.
But, you know, that's just the level.
And you're getting wine for free. So, I know. You know.
Lucky me.
Yeah, you're drinking Mont Blanc Cabernet for nothing. And you know, writing it off as you've tasted at my place. So, you know. I get the whole
deal. Yeah, it's the best.
It's a scam. I think this is a barbecue scam.
It's the perk of being in the wine world is getting samples. That's the best thing.
Yeah,
that's the best thing.
I'm wrote off as a sample. Yeah, you know. Okay.
Yeah, right.
I'm good with that. But no, I'm just gonna cook Wagyu.
There you go.
Briskets. Right. I can throw $1,000 away just as fast, and probably more enjoy it more than.
Well, that being said.
We're lucky in South Dakota. I mean, we're lucky we are where we are.
Very.
You know, if you're from Iowa, from Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, whatever, you're lucky. You can do that. You're from somewhere else. You know, who knows?
Well, that being said.
No, don't cut us off, man.
No.
We're on a roll.
This is going to be a two-parter.
We haven't got the barbecue yet.
All right, let's keep on going barbecuing.
That's part two. We're running out of wine. That's the problem.
No, we're not.
No, that's true.
There's a box behind him. There is a box. Yeah,
John always has a box wine.
But I think we should probably cut it off now. We can always have another episode sometime.
Yep.
Because this probably is going to cut into 2 episodes. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll figure it out.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. But it was great. It was fun to learn a little about the barbecuing and the taste.
Yeah.
Fun about the wine and everything else. This is pretty damn fun. Being down in the basement of a bar, so if you heard a lot of footsteps, that's because we're below a bar in a dungeon, having fun, drinking wine.
And that was my chair, not me. Just saying.
So, that being said, thanks for listening in. We'll catch you again next week. Cooking Bartender out.
Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cooking Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. CookinBartender@gmail.com, CookinBartender on Facebook, or CookBartender at Instagram. Thank you.